In today's episode, two awesome early childhood educators share their favorite strategy for engaging kids and keeping them curious. Hello and welcome to Blooming Curious, a podcast that's all about nurturing that natural curiosity in our early years kids and students. I'm Edwina, your host from the Ed's Lessons blog, a passionate advocate for play and inquiry, and on a mission to keep children curious and questioning. The days of talk and chalk are over. We're diving into the world of integrated, inquiry and nature-based learning, and exploring the strategies that create lifelong learners. So if you're a classroom or homeschool educator, or even a curious parent, then this is the place for you. So keeping our children curious and wondering is, I think, one of the most important things that we as parents and educators can do. I think we really have to consider these things. It's not just, you know, I've spoken about it in previous episodes and on the blog, is that we cannot be passive consumers of content. And we also can't just go through our day doing the same thing over and over again. I don't think that children are truly engaged when they're just busy. I don't think that children are engaged or truly engaged when they're sitting at desks just doing one worksheet after another. I think as educators and parents, we can do better. And I think it's time for all of us to actually stop and take a moment and think about those questions. You know, in education, we're often called upon to reflect on how the lesson went, reflect on how your day went, and then to, you know, make a plan, put a strategy in place, make some changes so that we can do better in the next lesson or the next day. And I think that's what we have to do in our lives, is we've got to stop for a moment and reflect a little bit more and think about what it is that we're doing and how we can do better. And I love that today, when we're looking at something a little bit different, and I've asked some guests to respond to that question, what are the best strategies to keep kids curious and engaged? So I put out this question to some Facebook admins. What is your favorite strategy for engaging children and keeping them curious? So I'm going to play those clips for you, have a listen to them, and then I'll weigh in afterwards as well in terms of what I think. So here we go with the first one. Have a listen, and then we'll have a chat about it.
Children are innately curious, but to spark their curiosity, there needs to be an element of wonder in their days, a moment of awe. And this can look like an expression on their face. It can be a moment of excitement. Maybe it's words that they're using. Maybe they're jumping. It could be about materials they're exploring. And a moment of awe can bring about curiosity. And this drives children to take action on that, to understand what they're exploring. So you want to look for wonder moments and reflect on why that may be happening. So is it a certain material that they're exploring? Is it children that they're playing with? Is it a particular part of the setting? Was it a question that was asked? Like, just reflect on what created that wonder moment. Now, to keep children curious and to keep them engaging in their play, an important element is having a sense of connection. And this is being connected to the environment, children, and educators that are in the setting. So connection brings about safety, calmness, and curiosity can keep growing when those are consistent. So be open to the moments that come when they're least unexpected, and look for the wonder moments and take on educator as researcher mindset, and be open to where the play experiences take you.
So you heard there from Veronica Green. Veronica has a website and a business called Cultivating Confidence. And Veronica also has a Facebook group called All Things Early Years. And I want to just take a moment and have a look at what she said there. So connection brings safety, calmness, and curiosity can keep growing when those things are consistent. And I think when we look back, and I've spoken before about Maslow's hierarchy, for example, kids aren't going to learn if they don't feel safe, if they're not happy. So I think what she said there about that connection, that's so important. And also to be open to those moments that come when they're least expected. And we've spoken about that before as well. Those moments when a child comes to you with, you know, they've discovered a bug or a ladybird or a snail. And if you just dismiss that, that's not going to help nurture their curiosity. We have to be open to those moments, and they're very unexpected when kids come to us with something, or they have a question, or they point something out in a book. And it's not about answering their questions or say, oh, look, you know, that's a ladybird, and it's an insect, and you know why it's an insect? Because it has six legs and a pair of wings or whatever it might be. For us, it's trying to find those moments where we can nurture their curiosity, and we nurture them through our own researcher mindset, exactly as Veronica has just said. It's about thinking as a researcher, thinking as an inquirer, and bringing that inquiry mindset and that inquiry stance to our interactions with children, to put them, to get them to question. So we need to question as well. And it's not about bombarding them throughout the day with millions of questions all the time, because that will also become really boring for kids. It's just about finding those slight nuanced moments when you can say at that moment, oh my gosh, you know, I wonder what kind of creature that might be. And maybe go and have a look for things that are in common. How do ladybirds and beetles and dragonflies, how are they similar? What do they have in common? So I love that response. Okay, so here's our next responder with her best strategy for keeping kids curious and engaged. Let's see what April Zyko has to say.
What a great question. I love the idea of how do we get kids curious? Well, just to say, I'm April Zyko. I'm a nature-based early childhood educator, and I teach a lot of college courses and do virtual professional development for teachers. And this idea of tapping into children's curiosities is one that I love. And so my favorite tip is really getting kids outside, giving them these opportunities for hands-on nature-based learning, giving them the tools, and just letting them to explore their own backyards. And so I know when I shift my thinking as, what's my role as a teacher, and I really focus on being a facilitator and being a keen observer of children, and then allowing their curiosities to really lead the learning. And so allowing their interest to really drive our curriculum, it's such a great way to just really foster their curiosities. And so I think part of it is how we add materials to our learning environment and how we really shift our role rather than being this direct instruction, being more that facilitator. And so my top tip is head outside and get curious yourself.
So I really couldn't have said that any better myself. Thank you, April. Getting kids outside is her favorite tip. And I think it's probably mine and every other educator on the planet that has seen firsthand just how being outside and being outdoors can open up children's awe and wonder and really get them curious. And that's why if you listen to one of my previous episodes when I was talking to Victoria Hackett from outdoorclassrooms.com, you know, we spoke in depth about how children build their curiosity and their learning outside and just how much they learn when they're outdoors. And she also gave so many great tips to educators and parents of how they can prepare the outdoor environment to create that awe and wonder. Because if it's all beautifully manicured, but there's nothing there, it might be extraordinarily beautiful, but there's nothing there for them to really get stuck into. There may not be any loose parts, for example. These are things children need to be able to do things. They need to get active. They need to climb and explore and, you know, use their five senses, literally. So I think getting outdoors is exactly the right place to nurture children's awe and wonder and curiosity. And also I really loved how April spoke about we as educators shifting our stance in that it's not that we're always just teaching. It's not that whole talk and chalk thing where we're just standing at the front of the classroom just yapping away. We can't really just be yapping away anymore. You know, we're up against technology, and children find technology, unfortunately, but they find technology highly, highly engaging because it really gets their dopamine going. So we need to be the dopamine, but it's not just us. We need to find ways that we can get kids curious. And by us nurturing their curiosity, by finding ways that we can teach our content outside, I think is a wonderful step in the right direction. And as April said, we've got to be facilitators and a really keen observer of children. So again, that whole idea of not being passive, not just standing there watching children, but really getting in there and really closely observing what is it that they're talking about to one another? What is it that they're picking up off the ground? What is it that they're saying? Is there a way that we can come in and maybe ask a question just to take them and guide them along a path of inquiry, for example? So we've got to lean into their curiosities and their interests and use that to drive our curriculum. And I think we sometimes get so worried about the curriculum, but you know, if we know our curriculum really well, then when we take children's curiosities, we can get that to fit in so, so easily. And interestingly enough, I was so fortunate and so thrilled beyond measure. I cannot tell you, I was actually so excited, but so incredibly nervous. I actually interviewed Claire Warden last Friday, and that's in an upcoming episode. So don't forget to subscribe so that you can be notified when that episode goes live. But Claire was saying those exact same things. So whenever I speak to anybody, whoever I speak to, previous people I've interviewed, it's always the same stuff that comes up over and over again. So I'm kind of wondering if all of us people that are interested, really deeply interested and passionate about children and how they learn and nurturing their curiosity and their awe and wonder in the world, because if you think about it, so many of us, right, have become so sort of disinterested and disconnected with our world. It's just like we're just going through the motions of every day, not really stopping and saying, hang on a minute, how do I feel about this? What's going on with me? Can I be better? Can I do better? Was my response appropriate? Yeah, I think we really have to start being facilitators, not just of children's learning, but of our own learning as well. And just stopping in the moment and get off the phones, get off the computers, get off the technology, because that's what's sucking up our brain power and our time. And start asking ourselves and doing a little bit of introspection and thinking, how can I facilitate children's learning rather than just yapping away at them? So I love also allowing children's curiosities and their interests to drive their learning. I think that's super important. And I love also, I know I'm doing a lot of loving, that we need to shift our role from a direct instruction type of role to that of a facilitating type of role. And as April said, her top tip was really to get outside and be curious ourselves. And I think I've said that over and over and over so many times. We cannot expect kids to be curious if we're not curious ourselves. We cannot expect kids to be good readers if we aren't modeling reading ourselves. We cannot expect kids to speak correctly if we don't speak correctly ourselves. We are really the biggest influencers in our children's lives. Maybe we don't realize that, but you know, have you ever noticed, for example, you'll be sitting there and then you hear a kid say something and it's just you, they've just said exactly what you say, because We are so important. We play this really important part in children's lives where everything we do and say, and in fact, even the things we don't do and say, are influencing children's lives in massive, massive ways. So also, I just want to say now that a great place for you to go to for tips and resources and articles to get you thinking and wondering about your practice as an educator is edslessons.com. So if you want to nurture not just your learner's curiosity, but your own too, then head over to edslessons.com and stay in the know. And while you're there, check out the e-guide that I created, especially for those of you that may be new to or just a little unsure or nervous of how to get started with inquiry-based learning, because I've created an e-guide there to help you get started, and it's aptly called Inquiry 101. It takes you through the process of inquiry with step-by-step instructions to integrate the inquiry cycle into your everyday lessons. And so, of course, you will be nurturing your own curiosity yourself. As so many educators and even parents, if you're a homeschool parent, think that inquiry is a separate subject. Well, it's not. It's a stance. It's your mindset. And just if you can get into that whole mindset of looking for those moments, as we heard earlier, Veronica talk about looking for those moments in a child's day. You know, looking for moments where they're being curious, moments where they're interested in something, and capitalizing on those moments to drive inquiry. And even as April said, using those interests that children have to drive the curriculum, to drive your inquiry. You know, one of the things that I see so often on social media are homeschool parents, specifically actually, that have decided to homeschool their children, and they have a five-year-old or even a four-year-old, and they're saying, where's the curriculum? What curriculum can I use to teach this child? And I've gone on and I've responded to this and saying, well, the child is the curriculum. And people get really annoyed and uppity with me because they then think, well, I want a curriculum. I want something on paper. I want someone to guide me. But your child is the curriculum. Their interests are what will drive your curriculum. You know, one of the reasons for people, I think, choosing to homeschool their children is because they don't want the rigidity of perhaps what happens in a school setting, because schools are driven by, you know, timetables and time constraints. And that's just the way it is, because when you are in a class with 25 or 29 or 30 kids, you have to have those structures in place. Otherwise, you have chaos. But in a homeschool setting, when you've just got a couple of kids, one, two, three, four, whatever it might be, when you've just got those few kids, you can so easily drive your curriculum with their interests. But you first have to get that inquiry mindset going in yourself and think, well, how can I use moments of awe and wonder to drive this child's learning? And those moments of awe and wonder are found outdoors. So everything that April and Veronica said today, go outdoors, see where that takes you. And again, if you go to Ed's Lessons, to the website, you will find an e-guide there called How to Nurture Children's Curiosity Naturally, which will really help you to see where those natural moments are, where you could take them and nurture that curiosity. And if you're open to that idea, that's going to help you to apply inquiry learning to what children are learning. And once more, I think I have to also make it quite clear here. We're talking about nurturing children's curiosity, not killing it with worksheets. Yes, there are places for worksheets. Yes, we should have a worksheet every now and again because it might be something that we want to consolidate or we want to see what children have learned. And of course, we want them to write and we want them to read. We want them to show what they know. There is a place for worksheets. But to give a worksheet for every single lesson of every single day, that's not real learning. That's not getting kids thinking. That's not what curiosity is about. There are better ways to do that. And if you hang around Blooming Curious for long enough and you go to edslessons.com for long enough and you have a look at some of the resources there, you'll start seeing other ways where you can gather children's knowledge and other ways that they can show their learning and make their learning visible. So I really hope that you'll do that. Thanks again to April and Veronica for taking the time to record their favorite strategies for keeping kids curious and engaged. We really, really appreciate that. And I really thank you for being here today. I know that you can choose a million other podcasts out there to listen to, and they're all amazing and wonderful. But I thank you for taking the time today to listen to Blooming Curious, because clearly you want to nurture your own curiosity as well as your children. And that is amazing, because the more of us then can be curious and awake and thinking about how we can better serve children, the better for, I think, humanity. So thanks for being here. And guys, can I just say that this podcast cannot grow without you following and without your reviews. So I want to also thank those of you that have left reviews and those of you that are following, because that's really helping this podcast grow. Podcasts do not grow and do not get in front of other people unless you share them, unless you follow them, and unless you leave reviews. That's just how the algorithm and the whole podcast scene works. So if you really like what you're hearing, please leave a review. I would really, really appreciate that. And also don't forget to follow, because I am interviewing so many awesome people and there's so many awesome episodes coming, and that way you won't miss it. So I hope to see you here, or for you to listen to me again next week. Tuesday is when every new episode launches, and I will see you then. Until then, stay blooming curious.